Good morning, Jake. How are we doing today?
It's a glorious day to be inside. Let's put it that way.
Snow and stuff everywhere, both ends, fires, all kinds of crazy
Yeah,
stuff
right?
going on
There's
in the
stuff
country
going
right
on,
now.
man.
It's pretty radical. Nature's like barking back at everyone. It's time of year and everything else. So I got a hot topic, man. It's sort of the new year. Let's revive this thing with some energy. And I want to talk about, is it the fight or is it the quit? And specifically, this is a big topic to talk about, but let's talk about in terms of sales language, and then in terms of like going and trying to move forward with something you're excited about, and then that sustained momentum. There's a point in time when someone decides to make a move, and there's that, oh man, this feels great. And then all of a sudden you're in the momentum of it and you're a little bored, or it's not quite happening like tomorrow, today. And you either fight through it or you quit. And there's always that argument. There's always that argument that, like, okay, it's my gut telling me to stop. I'm on the wrong path. Or is my gut saying, all right, go through? So if you pan that back, fight quit, how do you get fight quit equals procrastination though? Right? Like, so I know I'm triplicating, some stuff here, and we've got kind of in a wide array of topics under this fight quit situation, but I don't know. When I say fight quit, sales, go kind of business, maybe a little bit of personal. Or if you're a team leader and you're trying to install an initiative, right? And you're saying, okay, team, let's go do this. Let's talk. Let's go. Let's dive, man. We're on the board here. Let's go.
So if we look at this, like let's talk caveman, like tomahawk steak kind of caveman standpoint of how your brain works when you're doing this stuff. Now, part of this question is going to be, everybody knows I hate answering yes or no questions, but I'll pose it here for just for that sake of argument. Do I have all the information I need to make the decision? Yes or
Okay.
no, right? It's either a yes or it's a no, plain and simple. If it's a, well, I think I'm no, then the answer is no. If the answer is yes, I have all the information I need to make this decision. So we can use that piece of this when we try to, I'm trying to skirt, I should say, not avoid. I'm trying to skirt this procrastination crap.
Hurts.
I'm skirting it. I'm sidelining, going around the edges. So if we think about this from a very caveman, very primitive standpoint, we are an instinctual being. We are a mammal. We have a fight or fight or flight. Some of us are fight or flight instinct that we deal. And it is an instinct. It is a feeling that we get initially. So we will make a decision sometimes. And think about this. Let's think about this from a test perspective. Everybody remembers taking tests, right? Everybody remembers circling the circles and taking the boxes and doing whatever it was going to do.
I'm tested every day. I'm going to quote Emilio Estevez in Young Guns, man. You got to test yourself every day.
Yeah,
That's what I
test
do.
yourself every day. I'll make you famous. Yeah, great movie. That's running through my head now. But if you think about taking a test, when you know the information and you've prepared for the test, you go to answer the question. You'll go, is Mike wearing a flat brim hat today? Yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Right? We know the answer to that question. And then we still back. This is where we talk ourselves out of it. Our instinct was correct. Our instinctual reaction to the question was a correct response. And yet you could go back and you could argue the point. And you could start to talk to yourself and talk yourself out of it to where you could actually be wrong going that direction. So where I'm kind of headed with this, Mike, is an instinct when we say, yes, this is a thing I want to do. That is traditionally the right answer because your instincts, your person, your human hypothalamus has answered it. Said, yes, this is the direction we want to go. And then where we screw up, where we bomb this, and I can go back to countless times that I have done this to myself, of a great opportunity presents itself and I say, man, I got to do that. I got to do whatever it takes to do that. And I got to get into it. But then I get off the phone, I put down the email, I do whatever it is. And then I get in my head and I start thinking about it and I go, well, what if I, you know, maybe did this other thing or maybe did that, or maybe this isn't the right. I can what if myself to death. And later in life, I will look back at when I talked myself out of the thing and I will regret it. 100% of the time, my instincts, when I trust them, are right. When I have the information at hand. Now, I'm not saying you just have to make rash, radical decisions based on emotion. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I have the information at hand, I've researched, I've studied for the test, I understand what I'm being asked, and then my instinct will tell me it's A, B, or C, or D, and it will know the answer. Okay. I get into trouble when I talk myself out of that. So let's hear your perspective when I lay that out there. We totally know, you know, this is unscripted. We don't play with any of that stuff. No. We just have the conversations at hand that are happening in our existence. And we say this right now because we've got cards on the table. We've got some opportunities in front of us.
Yep.
That we've had to, okay, let's research it. Does it align with our purpose, our vision, our values, our why? Yes, it does. Okay, we can research it further. And at that point, we have to go, is that the one that we want to do? Yeah. We've got some people coming into our world that are looking at us that are like, man, we're excited to do something with you. But then they disappear. So like, this is the, do you fight, go back to fight or quit? So when we talk about instincts, like that's where I go to, is that fight or flight mechanism with fight or quit. What's your perspective based on what I'm kind of talking about?
So, you know, I mean, let me just say I've made just about every mistake on the planet and caused me, I can't even tell you how much money and time and life, my precious commodity of minutes wasted in overcommitting or saying no to too much stuff or saying yes and not really breaking it down deciding whether it's going to, you know, be a viable option. I mean, I'm coming up to one of those big decisions shortly in my life here. And, you know, for whatever reason, maybe I'm just like a late maturer in life or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe somebody else has got it all figured out. Cause I look at people in our peer group and I'm like, damn, you know, some of these people are really making good decisions. And they made a string of four big good ones. Okay, fine. They might have made 50,000 bad ones, but their four big were real big. And they locked in, they dialed in, and they got their level up and they're running. So from my perspective, right, I have to evaluate a couple of different things. Literally every 10 years, your mental and physical capacity changes, right? So you look at the energy it's going to take. Can you outsource this thing or can you do it yourself? And if you decide to commit down a path and it's you doing it, do you still have the integrity within you? Now, I could be talking to a 26-year-old who is 16 and had a set of ideas. I could be talking to a 36-year-old at 26 had a different set of ideas, right? So and remember what I'm saying here is every decade that you're on this planet, assuming you make it that long, is a decade of change, wisdom, and experience. And when we're given a directive, right, if we're a paid by the hour person and we're given a directive, what difference does it make, man? I mean, if I have personal integrity, I'll kick ass, but work by the hour, pay by the hour. Okay, I'll get it done, buddy. No problem. But if I'm an entrepreneur or a business owner and I want to create an initiative that's going to either make a change for my current customers or acquire new ones or open up to a different market so I can increase impact, I'm really going to have to figure this execution point out. How much am I going to have to do? How much am I going to have to outsource? And then how much can I sustain this? And then what do I have as a measure being able to assess progress and being able to fulfill the idea? And then what the back end, how long is this going to take me and my team? Or how long is this, should this take someone else, right? So, you know, it, sometimes you start looking at these things and you start really evaluating the time and the ROI, return on investment. And then you say, okay, if I have key performance indicators, which are, could be anything, and I have return on investment ideas, and I say, all right, so far I'm going to have to dedicate a whole lot of time, and then I might have to dedicate a whole lot of money. Great. If I can really have the soul experience on realizing that if this all goes to shit, I'm going to have to pull the plug and I'm going to have to get involved, and I'm currently don't have the bandwidth to get involved, it's a hard no. If I trust my team and I have a team and I can get involved, sure. But, you know, sometimes, again, I'm sort of halfway through. I'm the first half to the first quarter of my life if I live to 130 and 150, say. And you have to evaluate these things. But you also have to evaluate, geez, could this be my moment? Could this really be my moment? And have all the decisions that I've currently applied myself to, because where you are is a series of commitments you've already made. Mm-hmm. You're already fighting through whatever decisions you've already made, right? And you're living them. Yeah. And sometimes we get this, not shiny object, Jake, but we get this sort of way out idea. And we're like, oh my goodness, my current situation is not quite where I saw myself. And we're not quite where I saw myself. And it's where do I, how do I get out of it? Or how do I advance it? Or how do I live the dream? And wow, this opportunity could really be that. And I put blinders on this way. Right. So the fight or quit, sometimes it just takes a little fight to get out of the gates and you go running. Like take a look at what we did with Total Disruption. And take a look at where we went and where we're going. It was you and I sat down in a hotel lobby and we said, all right, this is what's going to happen. We're going to execute a show and then we're going to see where that takes us. And we're going to use that to get us some business and get ourselves out there in front of people. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, we agreed at that moment to never quit and always fight.
Mm-hmm.
Not even knowing the obstacles that would lay ahead of us. It hasn't been a fight. It's been nonstop.
Yeah.
So there was stuff coming from all angles that we never even, our intention was never to create resistance to any element. And we created resistance without even realizing it. Our intention was to say, let's get our stuff out there and help as many people as we can. And it was met with such resistance that we're just fighting through, right? Shedding the issues, fighting through, because there's a practical vision. Yeah. Not better, not worse, but it's our vision. And we agreed that any problems that we may have, we'll fight through them together. So there's a practical commitment there that over the series of a million decisions led us to that room, led us to make those decisions, and then led us to the path of information educating individuals. Yeah. So, you know, by the way, man, it's about that time we talk a little bit more about Total Disruption. And while we're talking about fight or quit, we want to go into season two, or do we want to talk about the Guild?
You know what? They're interchangeable, man. They really are. So, I mean, like, here's what I want to tell the audience. You belong in one of two places. You really do. You belong in one of two places. Am I, from a fight or quit standpoint, am I ready? You know, I'm done dicking around. I'm done screwing around. I'm done doing the thing. I'm going to get in front of 90 million viewers and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to jump onto, and I'm going to just go ahead and avoid the 7, 8, 9, 10 months, 2 years, 3 years of build it myself. And I'm going to leverage what these guys already built. So yeah, we want you to be a contestant on the show. Have the conversation, like come and just have a conversation with us. Let's unpack your business. Fill out the application. Let's talk about it. Our first episode is getting ready to roll out. We're filming now, but we're always rolling this forward. And the point of this application, the point of getting on this is so that massive, massive amount of visibility immediately for your business, local, national, international. We're going to put you everywhere we can possibly put you. When I say 90 million viewers, I'm not kidding. 100% true. And there's one of the things that some people just don't believe it. And we've heard that one lately. Totally true. And it's like, I don't have to prove it to you. I mean, you either decide that, yes, I want to do that thing and this is amazing and I want to try it, or you don't, but that's the data. So, I mean, the guild, if you're a I want to test the waters guy, right. And that's kind of what you're doing, then the guild is for you. Come and be part of the guild, get that accountability coaching, ramp your business up, step it at the space that you're cool and comfortable with. You guys know that we're all about going super fast. So everything that we do, the guild is going to feel incredibly fast and incredibly big for a lot of people. The show is going to feel incredibly big and incredibly fast for a lot of people. It just depends on where you are in the universe, but fill out the application. It doesn't cost you anything. And the worst case is you're going to get on a call with Mike and I and have a conversation about what's going on in your business. And we'll give you something that will help move your business forward today.
And let me just say, guys, the visibility piece of getting your information and your name out there to get in more conversations is crucial. Let the sound of my voice at this moment be that tumbler that falls into place. I have heard that since I was early on in my career. Hey, visibility, marketing, get on this, do that, get big, go social media, go whatever you got to do. You know, it all gets a little murky, but the truth is, unless people know who you are, no one knows who you are. And you are your best asset. You cannot improve the quality of your life professionally without a bigger customer base, without more people. You can't do it. And you can't do it unless people know who you are. People won't know who you are unless you're taking the steps to actively get in front of people so they know who you are.
Had to make this decision. You said it in a hotel lobby, a while ago. You and I had to make this decision because otherwise our businesses have been referral based. We've run great businesses for the last 15, 20 years.
Absolutely.
And we wanted to grow. The only way to do it was that we had to make the choice, the decision to say, all right, we're going to go out and we're going to do what we have to do to get in front of 90 million people. That was where we're going to head. And we're still doing that. So what's your decision today? What are you going to do?
And we're not posting on social media. I'm terrible at that. And I realize we post, right? Everyone posts on social media. I don't know if you happened to catch my post for today on Facebook. You should check it out. It's pretty good. And, with this whole idea of getting visible, quit, fight through it, it's not easy coming up with content. It's not easy growing a business. It's not easy making $100,000, $200,000, $1 million. But the truth is you only have one commodity, right? Time. If you can fast forward and you can force multiply your effort in simultaneous, in tandem with what you're trying to accomplish, why not? Sure, it's quantum thinking. Sure, it's hyperbolic. Sure, it's whatever you want to call it. But it's a fascinating, necessary idea, right? Go faster, get seen more, be in front of people, and then acquire more business. It's just part of the deal. So that's all, enough about season two. By the way, unless it's not obvious, there's a QR code right below me here. Just click on it or go to total-disruption.com and all the details about the guild and about our season two show, which is going to be incredible, are going to be on there.
Yep, love it. So, and there's some opportunity to meet some of the current contestants that are on there as well. So
it's going to be awesome. I mean, the people business is fantastic and the impact business is even better. So as we move down the line here, Jake, in our compelling argument here and talk about fight or quit, when it comes to sales language, right? So sometimes there's this ethical question that people have about sales language. Now, I'm going to, if I can give you a live example about what we just did with sales language, that was an example of us having a conversation and natively integrating a proposition that is not a sale, but it's an idea of getting people to do something to help them out. And that's the service we're offering, right? It's a little trade. We're giving information here and then we're breaking it down and then we're offering something. So not only do we do it, we live it. It's the only way to do things. And there's no promises of anything. The only promise is the effort to be more visible, right? There's no income claims. There's no anything. Everyone has to do the work. It's not easy. That's why not everybody is an entrepreneur. That's why there's people out there that don't succeed at what they think they want to succeed. That's why they fight or that's why they quit. And it took me a little bit. It took me a little bit to get past the guilt of taking somebody's money and being able to actually deliver with what I was going to say. Right. So back in the day, I started out, I had a real passion in retail, and then I moved into the fitness and wellness space. I was always an avid physical guy, outdoors, bike riding and everything else. And I decided to chase extreme mountain biking, and I really loved it. And I worked in the bicycle industry because I wanted to get discounts on parts. Meanwhile, my immature brain was like, just go get a better job. And it doesn't matter what you pay for these shitty parts. Like, you can just go get the parts, have a big job. It just didn't make sense to me. So after making $26,500 a year, managing $3.5 million of retail, I was running 3 stores for this big company. And I said, you know what? I'm getting burnt out. This is ridiculous. I went into fitness, started my own business, and then created, through just extra knowledge, my own systems. And of course, I copied some people's stuff. Absolutely. I took a certification, and the whole point of taking a certification and paying people money is, here's my model. Pay me. I'll teach it to you. You go out and make it yours. And that's what I did. But the guilty part about justifying rates, see, when you know this, Jake, and I'll let you speak a minute here, but when you're setting your price points for results given, it's not always your responsibility to make yourself affordable for everybody. If you want to, that's okay. Just understand you want to and be okay with that. Because if I'm doing the thing and I'm getting paid, I'm going to make a round number here, $500 for my thing, and you're doing the thing, and you're charging $100, and we're relatively the same thing, well, I don't know what to say, but I'm doing the same thing, and I'm getting more because I believe in myself a little more, maybe. Or maybe you're doing the same thing for less because you've already done it, and now you're giving back. Either way, it's all relative. Maybe I'm doing that and giving back. Maybe I charged $10 million, and now I'm charging $500. The guilt. Once you understand and have your integrity to deliver, and you're okay with what you said you're going to deliver, because it's never going to be good enough. You're never going to be able to help everybody, and you're never going to be able to fulfill every commitment. It's just not going to happen. But if you delivered what you said you were going to deliver at the price point you were going to deliver it, you're going to be able to weather that. It's not what I thought it was. Well, that's on you. So what do you think about all that, man? I just kind of went on for a while there.
You covered a lot of great stuff, and I'm going to close a couple loops on this. So KPIs. Mike said that you can have any number of KPIs. Pick 3. You don't need 50. Pick 3, the 3 that are going to drive revenue the most, whatever those are for you, like school them down on KPIs. I wanted to mention that. you made so many good points. The other one that you're talking about with this guilt on price point, there's 2 schools of thought on this. And we know that it's true. We've been here before. You guys have all seen it. When you price something high, we're going to use the number high. You put a high price tag on something based on the value that you have, and it's above most people, you're going to get a certain type of clientele that expects to pay that, but they expect the results. They expect the product, the quality, and the service that they're paying for the thing. Now, by and large, those clients are much less of a pain in the ass. Like, I just know that it's true. They are less maintenance because of what they're expecting. Now, you can price yourself low. I can guarantee you, you are going to work harder for the lower price point than you would for the higher price point. Because the people, I mean, it's a value proposition. We got to think about, you know, I've had this conversation with somebody a couple of days ago that really wanted to say, you know, man, this is a huge investment at a really low price point. But it was relative to where they were in the universe. Now, I know this particular individual is going to be some maintenance. They are going to take more effort to deal with than the other people that I would throw, you know, and I'll just say it, right? This is a person that was going to be a $10,000 price point as a ballpark, right? They're going to be more maintenance than if I offered it to somebody else at 50. We even got challenged yesterday by a peer of ours when we rolled out, you know, what we're doing, and they're like, good Lord, that's all you're charging for that. So there's understanding when we talk language, like, that's where it's going to come off weird. If you personally don't believe you have the value that you are willing to put out there, the price point is irrelevant, but it's going to come across in your language. You're going to show up that way. You're going to say it that way. Chances, and you guys have heard it. You guys have all gone to my wife's favorite word, schlarmy, used car guys, those schlarmy. She loves that word. She makes stuff up. It's great. That particular word, you've been to that used car salesman. You're just like, yeah, I wouldn't do business with that guy. It's because he doesn't actually believe the value of what he's selling. So that's where you've just got to get in alignment with what you're doing. It's a belief piece. It's a decision. We started out with this in the beginning. It's a quit or fight. And are you fighting for your value? Are you fighting for what you're worth? Are you giving up and just saying, yeah, I'm only worth 20 bucks an hour?
Well, like, I couldn't agree with you more. And as you know, we're kind of closing out on time, but I part of me said the same thing. It's like, man, I know what I have. And ultimately it's going to come down to the human being and how much integrity you have and what you're trying to work through. And ultimately you have to realize you can't get too bogged down without any one customer, any one person. You can only do so much.
And so, once in a while, are you going to reduce what your price point is because you really see the need to help another person, another business? It does happen. Sometimes you look at it and you're like, oh man, this would change your universe and I'm in a position that I can do it.
Yep.
Yeah, then that's a valid time to do it. Like when you're doing it out of service, that's a great time to do it. When you're doing it out of scarcity, not a good move, because you're decreasing your value, right? You're quitting on yourself. You're quitting on your value. Fight for what you're worth, man. That's where I would want to leave that.
Amen. Parting words. All right, everybody. Well, now it's your turn to disrupt. On behalf of Jake Lindenning, my name is Mike Liberci, and you just were on Total Disruption.
See you on the other side.